Hello there, this is Evangelist Timothy Gruber coming to you. This is the Word of the King. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 4 says, "What the word of the king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, What doest thou?" This is once again being recorded from the Ashtabula Holiness Bibles for the Blind studio in Ashtabula, Ohio. And today on the Word of the King, we're going to be getting into part 3 of our series on the human heart and the church. Today we'll be discussing, in the context of St. Mark chapter 7, from within, out of the heart of men. We get started today on the Word of the King. I would like to have a word of prayer now. Father, in the name of Jesus, come before you today as I would present this message to you, dear God, concerning the words of Jesus Christ our Lord, concerning from within, out of the heart of men, in this third part of the series, the heart of man and the church. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you would just stir our hearts, dear Lord God, and the hearts of everyone listening, dear Lord God, to all the more abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. We're told, dear Lord God, in the book of Proverbs that we are to guard our hearts, for from without of it are the issues of life. And Jesus himself said, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. And we know that those evil thoughts and all the evil that goes along with those evil thoughts that proceed from the heart of the natural man are an abomination and an offense to you, Lord God, and we would not desire to offend you, Lord, even as we've been delivered from the wrath to come and the power of sin through Jesus Christ our Lord. So may you, dear Lord God, draw souls, Father, tonight to the Son, and may the Son reveal you, the Father, to men. May it be given unto them from heaven to be filled with your Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost going forth, convicting of sin, judgment, and righteousness tonight. And may you stir the hearts of your saints tonight as we hear this message, dear Lord God, and may you even minister to me, Lord God, as I would seek to be your vessel of minister into others, Lord God, even now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. It is written, St. Mark, chapter 7, "And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man entering into him can defile him. The things which come out of him, those are the things that defile the man." Now, there's nothing wrong, dear listener, with wanting to be careful what you put in your body. And, you know, your body is a precious gift from God. So, there's nothing wrong with taking vitamins. There's nothing wrong with having a healthy diet. But ultimately, Jesus Christ made it clear that ultimately, it's not what you put in that ultimately defiles you. Jesus Christ goes on, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable." And again, keep in mind, a parable is nothing more than an illustration using physical, earthly things that you can see to convey or put forth the spiritual truth. Verse 18, "And he, speaking of Jesus, saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him?" Verse 19, "Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats." Verse 20, "He said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man." Verse 21, "From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders." Verse 22, "Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." Verse 20, Jesus concludes, "All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Now, when we consider here, from within, out of the heart of men, we're told, Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Word of God in Genesis chapter 6, speaking of the evil of man in the days of Noah prior to the flood, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." We're considering evil thoughts tonight. Again, the book of Proverbs says, "Guard thy heart with all diligence, keep it with all diligence, for from without of the heart proceed the issues of life." So, it is written, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." Let me ask you tonight, is your heart within you set to fully do evil? Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily? Do you know what it's like to be made a new creature in Christ Jesus? And if indeed you've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus, are you continually every day dying daily to yourself and to your own selfish desires, and are you submitting yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ continually? Evil thoughts, adulteries. Jesus Christ hits on adulteries. And one more note there on evil thoughts. We're told in 1 Corinthians 13 that charity thinketh no evil. Christian, are you abounding with charity towards your fellow man? Jesus Christ made it clear, if Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and the first and greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Adulteries. Jesus goes on, he talks about adulteries in the context of St. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus mentioned about how it was said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But then he went on to say, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Told there in the Old Testament, in one context, in one book, about the adulteress, how she waited for the precious life. We're told in the book of Hebrews that marriage is honorable and all, and the bed and the foul, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And then there's also the aspect of spiritual adultery. Perhaps you have not committed physical adultery, though. I'm sure you listening, if you'd be honest, even you're guilty of committing adultery in your heart. But nevertheless, there's also spiritual adultery. We're told in the book of James chapter 4, verse 4, God says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You know whether or not you're a friend of the world by what you read, by what you take pleasure looking upon, hence by what you watch on the boob tube, as they call it, by what you take pleasure listening to. By those things, you know if you're a friend of the world or not. When we think of adulteries, of course, there's one man in the Bible that always sticks out, and his name's David. David was indeed a man after God's own heart, but he wasn't above temptation, and don't you think, Christian man, Christian woman, that you're above reproach, that you're above temptation, and don't you think that God's some respecter of persons that won't chasten you when you commit sin, and that includes being a respecter of persons, those things that the world might deem little sins. You must remember, all sin is unrighteousness with God. Continue on, fornications Jesus speaks of in verse 21 of St. Mark 7. Fornications. Oh, they say, well, Jesus never condemned sodomy. Jesus never condemned homosexuality. Liars, you need to read your Bible. Jude 7, it is written, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, there they are, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Right there, God makes it clear that the abomination of sodomy, homosexuality there, which is what Sodom and Gomorrah were engaging in, he calls it fornication. So when Jesus condemned fornications, he was condemning not just sexual acts between male and female outside of marriage or prior to marriage, but he was also condemning attempts to get it on sexually, man with man, woman with woman, which is another form of sex outside of marriage. Fornications. We're told that the fornicator shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ himself goes on here. He speaks of murders. It is written, thou shalt not kill. It is written in 1 John, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So again, God equates ungodly hatred in one's heart for his or her neighbor with murder in the heart. And he holds you just as accountable for murder, having had such hatred in your heart for your neighbor, as Charles Manson or any other mass murderer out there. When you think of murderers, thou shalt not kill, perhaps you're listening, and you have had an abortion, dear listener. Or maybe you're listening, young man, sir, and you encouraged a young lady to have an abortion. Woe unto you, you are a partaker in the shedding of innocent blood. Psalm 15 warns against taking up reward against the innocent. And every abortionist is a murderer who takes up reward against the innocent. And you gave them the reward in the form of cash. The love of money is the root of all evil, God says. And we're told that while some coveted after it, they none of the air from the faith that pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Are you tonight coveting money, loving money more than Jesus Christ? We're told that the covetous man is likened unto an idolater. He is an idolater, according to Ephesians chapter 4. Again, the love of money is the root of all evil. You best not be coveting such money in such a manner, lest you err from the faith and be pierced through with many sorrows. Jesus Christ goes on, verse 22 of St. Mark 7. Thefts, he talks about thefts. We're told, thou shalt not steal. Jesus Christ said in St. John 10, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some of the way, the same as a thief and a robber. Jesus Christ went on in that context of St. John 10 to make it clear that he is the door of the sheep. By him, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. You know, as the saying goes, you know, one thing leads to another. One sin here leads to another. Jesus Christ in the very next sin, he follows and he targets covetousness. He preaches down on covetousness just after he touches on thefts. We think of thou shalt not covet that which is thy neighbor. It's ultimately coveting that which belongs to your neighbor, the neighbor that gives place to the temptation to steal. So covetousness gives place to thefts. And again, Jesus Christ said, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, Jesus Christ himself being the door, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. What Jesus was saying right there is when you seek to get to heaven, to have your sins forgiven, and to be in right relationship with God through any other means and through him, the door of the sheep, Jesus Christ, that is, you are likened unto a spiritual robber. You are a thief spiritually because you are robbing God of the honor and glory that belongs to him alone. So come unto Jesus, give all the glory to him, all ye Gentiles, laud him, all ye people, for he alone is worthy of all glory. Again, Jesus Christ says, that's covetousness. The covetous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, and the whole thief shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Wickedness. Wickedness. Again, the context of Genesis. Talking about the men of Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, sinners before the Lord exceedingly. The thought of foolishness is sin. Jesus Christ is going to hit on foolishness here before long. Oh, but wickedness. Hope the wicked should be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Let everyone that named the name of Jesus Christ, we're told in Timothy's letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Are you taking pleasure in wickedness? Do you actually have the gall? Do you have the audacity to call yourself a Christian, and yet you're taking pleasure in wickedness today? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. But whatsoever you sow, that you shall also reap. Again, all transgression of God's holy law is wickedness. Deceit. Jesus Christ goes on to speak of deceit. We're told, he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. Woe unto them that do the work of the Lord deceitfully. There's a lot of ministers of Satan out there posing as ministers of Jesus Christ today, doing the work of the Lord deceitfully. Coveting in the manner that I just spoke of earlier, piercing themselves through with many sorrows, erring from the faith, preaching fables and that which tickles the ears of men, so that they might all the more get more of the money that they love so much more than God and that they covet so much more than the earnest blessings of heaven. Many of you ministers of Satan are listening. God has a word for you tonight. Is repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, or else you at the last will split hell wide open. And in hell you lift up your eyes, being in torments, and at the last you'll perish with your father the devil, except you repent and be born again. Lasciviousness. Jesus Christ goes on. Lasciviousness. When we think of deceit, both all liars from their part in the lake which burneth with fire, brimstone to the second death. What lies all it takes to make you a liar? We're told, speaking of the new Jerusalem, the Jerusalem which is above, that there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Again, one lie is all it takes to make you a liar and make you not worthy of entering into the Jerusalem which is above. Lasciviousness. 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 It's another word for lawlessness. We're told in the context of Jude 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares to perform old or ordained of this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Lawlessness. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For as in Adam all die, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. We're coming up now on the halfway point here in the Word of the King. Let me consider, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Oh, if ye then be an evil, Jesus said to his own disciples, if ye then be an evil, so the more why we need amazing grace to give us a new heart and to write God's law within our inward parts so that his commandments might not be grievous to us. This is amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, may God give us more grace. Thank God for his amazing grace, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast. Told in the book of Acts, it is written, we believe that we should be saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, even as they. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Jesus said, this is the work of God, in St. John 6:29. That you believe on him whom he hath sent. May God perform his work in your heart tonight if you have yet to believe on the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Who said, in the context of St. Mark 7 again, touching on from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. Those evil thoughts that from within, out of the heart of men proceed forth are summed up in Paul's one letter to Timothy when it says, know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, incontinent, fierce, truth breakers, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. And when we think of lasciviousness, Jesus Christ touched on lasciviousness, lawlessness. Again, Jude 4, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, lasciviousness. Jude 4 talks about those ungodly men, crept in unawares, before of old ordained to condemnation, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, lawlessness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You call yourself a minister, and you say there's nothing wrong with homosexuality. You are a preacher of lasciviousness. Lawlessness is what you are. You say there's nothing wrong with abortion. Well, that preacher that actually had that murderer, that who was the number one partial birth abortionist man in all the country, George Tiller, that preacher that actually made that man a deacon out in Kansas, I believe it was, before somebody rose up and shot the man dead, that's a preacher of lasciviousness. It's a preacher of lawlessness that approves of such a man as a deacon. Again, abortion is murder. It's the shedding of innocent blood, and God hates the hands of them that shed innocent blood. Are you a preacher of righteousness, or are you a preacher of lasciviousness out there tonight? Jesus Christ speaks of an evil eye. Hey, it's like this. The soul of man by nature is evil, and therefore, by nature, his evil soul produces an evil eye towards his neighbor, and even towards himself. So much so that some go so far as to commit suicide. For those of you who are contemplating suicide tonight, that's not the answer. Jesus Christ said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted. The reason you're thinking about suicide tonight is because you're brokenhearted. Look to Jesus Christ, the divine, eternal healer, and he can heal your broken heart through faith in him alone, by faith in his shed blood. Jesus speaks of blasphemy. We're told, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless of taking his name in vain. It's one way that men commit blasphemy from their heart against God, by using the name of Jesus Christ as a curse word, or does not flippantly, and use it flippantly as they joke around with their friends in a manner that it's not supposed to be used. They say God, and they say damn, simultaneously in a moment of rage. They say for, and then God say loosely. Oh, those are all ways you blaspheme the name of God. St. Matthew chapter 12 talks about blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And again, every pope who ever utters a papal bull, that's called, or speaks ex cathedra, pretending to stand in the place of Jesus Christ on earth and speaking as the Holy Ghost, and yet speaks lies in his name, uttering what are nothing more than vain traditions of men in the name of Jesus Christ, claiming to be the Holy Ghost, commits blasphemy against the Holy Ghost and is ultimately doomed to die and at the last burn for all eternity in a lake of fire. Pride, Jesus Christ talks about pride. Everyone that is proud at heart is an abomination to the Lord, we're told. No hand, joining hand, he will not go unpunished. Pride is the very thing that led to Lucifer's fall from his position as the anointed cherub. He said, I will be like the Most High. I will ascend up into the heavens. I will sit upon the throne. I'll be like the Most High. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what did he say to our parents, Adam and Eve? He said, know ye not that in the day ye shall eat thereof, ye shall be as gods? Oh, and how many, especially you Mormons, especially you humanists out there, and you New Agers have bought into that lie. Foolishness. The thought of sin is foolishness, we're told in the book of Proverbs. Jesus says, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Foolishness. Talk about foolishness. All this evolution garbage. For I said in his heart, there is no God. God says, they are corrupt. You atheists, you're corrupt. You've done abominable works. There's nothing to do with good. No, not one. Jesus says, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. Foolishness. Jesus Christ talked about that man who laid up goods on earth and was rich toward himself, but wasn't rich toward God. And in the day that the grim reaper of death came his way, God said to him, thou fool, you who are laying up treasures on earth and you're not considering how you're going to leave those treasures behind, and you're not seeking to make yourself rich in faith toward God Almighty through faith in Jesus Christ, God is saying to you right now, thou fool, prepare to meet thy God. All these evil things come from within, defile the man. We're told that in that day, God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. My gospel. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Believe the gospel, how that Christ, as God manifest in the flesh, died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. We're told, the Apostle Paul said, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Oh, when God created Adam, Adam was alive. He was perfect as God created him. And yet the commandment came. Thou shalt not partake of the forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And as the commandment came, and Adam and Eve partook thereof, Eve being tempted by the serpent, Adam being tempted by Eve, oh, they died. Sin was revived, because ultimately it didn't start there. It started up in heaven with old Lucifer. So, even as sin revived, and you, sinner, died, for as an Adam all die, may you look unto Jesus Christ the day of the resurrection and life, and may be given unto you to be made alive unto God, dead to sin, dead, meaning no use to sin, no use to unrighteousness. You've been of enough use to the devil and unrighteousness. It's now time to be alive unto God. Behold, now is accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to submit your members as instruments of righteousness. You who call yourself a Christian, you present in your body a living sacrifice daily, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, you want to talk about tithing your 10% all the time. I got news for you. Your whole life better be a tithe unto God. Forget about your wallet. God could care less about your 10% if you're not presenting your body a living sacrifice every day, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Yes, my friend. Jesus said, if any man follow me, he must take up his cross. He must take up his cross. The cross has to do with suffering. Oh, but it is written, that if you suffer reproach for Jesus Christ and for his name's sake in this life, there's exceeding joy to be had above and beyond in the next. Tell me, joy, are you putting Jesus first? Are you putting others second and yourself last? You call yourself a Christian? Because if you're not, you're not walking with the mind of Christ. Nor if you're born again, you have it. I was just thinking about it earlier today. God says in Psalm 16, it's written, Psalmist David wrote, thou wilt shew me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. You can tell how much time a professing Christian spends in the secret, special presence of Jesus Christ in the closet, so to speak, of their house or wherever. You can see how much time they spend in solitude and how much fellowship they really got with Jesus Christ by how much they're putting him first, others second, and themselves last. So, examine yourself. Sinner, examine yourself, you call yourself a Christian. Examine yourself, see whether you be in the faith. Know ye not, Jesus Christ be in you? You are reprobates. Behold, Jesus Christ himself said in St. Matthew 7, it is written, for many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works? And he will say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, there are those who profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient. Unto every good work reprobate, but it is written, repent, ye, for except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The time is ignorance, God winked out, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Come unto Jesus, unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and by faith in him and his shed blood alone, you can be made spiritually whole, clothed in his righteousness alone. This has been the word of the King. Till next week, this is Evangelist Timothy Gruber. God bless you and yours.